They're playing our song, Marianne.
That's right. That means I have to get away from the window where the sun is shining and come sit in my chair.
Yes, you do. The Wind Trust Business Lunch Hour, or Business Hour, or whatever it is on the air. I'm Bob Surratt.
And I'm Marianne Murciano. Happy Friday. What a beautiful day.
With us, before we talk to John Carpenter, coming up, we'll get social media business, find out what's buzzing in that department from Scott Kleinberg, who writes the social column in the Chicago Tribune. Very interesting, exciting news. If you live outside of Chicago, Ravinia is not the only place with first-rate entertainment this summer. We'll get to that at about 12:52. But first, from the Tribune's Blue Sky Innovation Department, John Carpenter. Hi, John.
Hey, guys.
There's some interesting news this week about, and it's perfect to talk about this today heading into the weekend, restaurant reservation systems and some new digital menu concepts. What's the latest, John?
Well, there's been quite a bit of restaurant-ish tech news. We've got a story today on a Chicago startup called Uncorked, which is working in sort of the tablet menu space. They focusing on wine and beverage. I think they'll do food as well. But I think people, you know, listeners are probably starting to see some restaurants with tablet menu options. The idea that they're banking on is that in finer restaurants with a more involved wine list, you can have a tablet that allows you to kind of explore the wine list a little bit. You know, you can click on an individual wine and read a little bit more about it. The same with, you know, craft beers. Some of these restaurants have 100, 200 different craft beers, and the people who enjoy those like to kind of read about it. And I think their sales pitch is that they say they can increase sales 15 or 20% because people are a little bit more likely to be a little more adventurous with their, you know, their wine selection using a tablet.
You mean so using the tablet, like, before you get to the restaurant or at the restaurant?
No. You go to the restaurant, and if you ask for a wine list, the waiter or waitress will give you the tablet in the restaurant. So instead of looking at a traditional paper wine list, they're going to hand you a tablet that has, you know, it's branded for each restaurant, and it'll have reds, whites, sparkling wine, whatever. So you'll then operate the restaurant's tablet, but it's tailor made for the restaurant's own wine list. So it's all obvious. It's a little bit more updatable, but I think they believe that people who enjoy wine will appreciate that a little bit more. Also, people who are intimidated by wine lists sometimes will appreciate the ability to kind of explore it by themselves, you know, without a server sort of looking at them and you know, judging them or whatever. But it's definitely sort of the restaurant's, it's a restaurant version of the old wine list.
Well, one good thing is that it's going to be a lot easier to read because it's going to be backlit like a tablet is. So that
there's
a plus. But I think I'm going to start using it only when the tablet comes out with samples.
Yeah, good idea.
Right, exactly. Very good.
As of this week, Open Table has some new competition in Chicago.
Yeah. There's a company called Reserve. There's actually a couple. Reserve is the one that they claim that they want to be sort of the Uber for restaurants. I'm not so sure about that, but it's basically an app that allows you to make a reservation, get immediate feedback on whether there's a table available. If there's not a table available, it will offer you other options for other restaurants very quickly on your phone. But interestingly, Open Table offers payment options, but it's kind of new and not used by all the Open Table users yet. But Reserve also has a payment option. So I think we're starting to see, both with Reserve and with some of these other apps, you know, the future, which is basically you will go to a restaurant, you will eat your meal, and you'll leave, and there won't be the check moment. I mean, you know, you'll still obviously be able to get an itemized receipt, and you might be able to get it printed out if you really want. But I think, you know, similar to Uber, where you take a ride, they drop you off, and you're done. All the payment is automatic. Reserve has that payment option. So, you know, with all these apps, it it remains to be seen which ones are going to be adopted by the customers. That's always the question. You know, you could have the greatest idea in the world, and if people don't use it, it just kind of fades away. But,
so Reserve and Table 8 are now up and running for Chicagoans?
Right. Table 8 is a little bit different. I mean, they're targeting the business diners and, you know, people who tend to spend quite a bit more. And I think the idea there is that participating restaurants, when they get a reservation through that, will sort of, you know, flag those customers as, okay, these are people we need to get in here because they're going to spend a lot of money. I mean, really what a lot of these concierge type apps do is replace the old fashioned really good host or hostess or concierge who, you know, when they see a Bob Surratt coming, they think, oh, we got to get him a table. You know, he's good. He's a good tipper. He's a good,
oh yeah,
you know, likes fine wine.
Oh, but, yeah.
You know, they're sort of banking on the tapping into that market. So, and obviously the benefit for the user is if you can fit that profile, it's an easier, because those business travelers also tend to make, you know, suddenly they have a big client in town who says, yeah, sure, I'd love to go to dinner, and they want to get a table at a good restaurant. So they're a little bit of a different niche, and in their selling point isn't as broad, but it's you know, we'll help. You're a big shooter with a big client. You need to get a good table. We're gonna try and set you up there.
Yeah, the bar doesn't make much money on me, but they do call the Bosco steward when I walk in.
Yeah, right. Well, and you know, there's an app. The app will flag that, and you'll have it waiting for you at your table.
John Carpenter, covering the new economy and startup ventures for the Tribune. Thanks, John.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Into the business class department, on board with Johnny Jett for our Friday chat about travel. Johnny, of course, the proprietor of JohnnyJett.com. And where is he today?
Hey, you guys, I'm home in L.A. for a couple more days.
All right. So, Johnny, tell us, I loved reading about this on your site, about why it's important to keep your boarding pass after your flight. I usually throw those things away. A lot of times I just leave them on the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't ever do that.
I know. That's terrible, right?
Well, first of all, I'm a pack rat, so I like to keep everything. But the reason why you want to keep your boarding pass is because, you know, a few days after you fly, you should always log into your frequent flyer account and see if your airline gave you the miles that you were supposed to get. And if you don't see them after 15 days, you definitely want to contact them. There's resources on their website. I just wrote about it, so there's links onto my site. But all you have to do is Google the airline and say, missing flight credit, and it will give you a form. But you can also take a photo, which I didn't put in that story. You could take a photo of your boarding pass, because you're going to need, usually going to need a ticket number, which is on there.
That's a great idea, to just take a photo of it so you don't have another piece of paper hanging around.
Exactly. So I'm going to update that,
another one. And don't leave it on the airplane, because you don't want people seeing your information, right?
Yeah. I mean, especially you guys are on the radio and stuff, but, you know, you don't want people to have your information anyway. And so that brings up another tip. When you do travel, you know, if you take the train into the airport or wherever you're going, public transportation, or even just hanging out at the airport, there could be criminals there looking at your bag, and they're looking at your bag tags. And if it says your name and address, you know, they know you're not home. So I recommend, you know, just putting your name and your phone number on your bag or your email address.
Somebody once told me that, you know, those cards they use now in hotels, there's a lot of information that they embed in those cards. And when you check out, usually people just leave them in the room. Somebody once told me, take them with you, toss them out, because there's information there that is about you. Do you toss yours? Is there anything to that?
Well, there's conflicting reports about that. Some people say it's true. Some people say it's not true. So I don't know who to believe. But again, I'm a pack rat, so I actually have a stack of those hotel keys, key cards in my house. Because one day I was like, I'm going to wallpaper my wall like that. And my wife's like, no, you're not.
Yeah, and you'll have like 10 zillion of those.
Yeah, Johnny, you got married, so that will prevent you from doing a lot of these outlandish ideas.
Not all,
coming through with
some of them. Airline performance dipped last year. according to a new report. Fewer flights touched down on time, more bags mishandled, more flyers logging complaints. Worst results in that department since 2009. But here at O'Hare, in the international terminal, food and retail sales are up. People are happy because that Terminal 5, which was an embarrassment for a long time, underwent a $26 million renovation. They have 24 new upscale retail shops, restaurants, some good Chicago places, Tortoise Frontera from Rick Bayless, Hub 51, Wow Bow, Big Bowl, Taco of Wicker Park. I know, Johnny, you've been down in O'Hare, but do you agree things are getting better here?
Without a doubt, especially the food scene. That Rick Bayless restaurant is one of my favorite airport restaurants in the world. I mean, it's within the top 10. Yeah, so you know, I love to see that these airports all around the world are now getting, you know, better food and local food. San Francisco's Terminal 2 does a great job with it. Even here in Los Angeles, they're doing a much better job. You know, it's just nice to be able to go to a destination where they serve local food in the airport.
Southwest has some good news, wider airplane seats, and this is flying in the face of the trend for other airlines, isn't it?
Yeah, there's mixed reviews on that as well. You know, so the average seat is usually about 17 inches wide, and they're saying theirs is going to be, I think, 17.8 inches. But these are slimline seats, so, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they feel, the cushion. These new slimline seats are getting, you know, chewed up by all these business travelers because after, you know, 10 minutes of sitting in it, your butt hurts. So yeah, there's no cushion in it. And also these new Southwest seats, they're saying that, you know, the reason why there's more room is because they're making the armrests much skinnier.
Okay, so we don't know if that's good news yet or not. Johnny Jett had something posted recently that I'm fascinated by. I believe this was your travel website of the week a while back, Dream Cheaper. And this is a place where you can get good hotel rates. Tell us about this, Johnny.
Yeah, so this is a new site that just came out, you know, a month ago. I think I wrote about it a couple weeks ago. I'm actually looking for it real quick. But so when you book a, you know, your reservation online, make sure it's fully refundable. And if it is, then right when you book it, then forward it. I think it is to hotels@dreamcheaper.com. I got to look that up.
Yeah,
on my
hotel
site.
Hotel singular, hotel@dreamcheaper.com. Right.
Okay, so you forward it to that. And these guys will then monitor your rate. So if the price drops, they will rebook you at the lower price and cancel your other reservation. So that's why you got to make sure it's your original reservation is refundable. But, you know, they say they claim that it will save you up to 60% of your room rate. And then there's two different ways to pay them. I believe you either give them 20% of your savings, or you can pick or choose how much you want to give them as a you know, thank you.
It's so, worth checking out.
It's definitely worth trying, and I'm actually trying it right now, so we'll see how it goes.
All right, let us know on your site for more on all of this and all sorts of travel-related tidbits and tips, johnnyjett.com. And I understand you're actually going to be flying into Chicago. Is it next month we'll see you in the studio?
I will be there at the end of May.
Oh, can't wait to see you.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Hopefully we can go to breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or just see you in the studio. And I'm actually going to be international for the next 3 weeks, so it might be difficult to call in, but we can talk about that.
Okay. Right. Give us a clue. Where are you going?
Somewhere beautiful.
Okay.
Oh, is it a surprise?
Oh, maybe he's coming to Chicago early. All right, Johnny. Good travel. See ya.
All right, take care.
Let's find out what people are buzzing about on social media. Scott Kleinberg is here, the social columnist from the Tribune. Are you social? Are you a social guy, Scott?
Yes, I think I'm pretty
just
he's
online?
So social.
I think I'm pretty social, yeah.
He's so social. That's why they call the column
right.
That. People are, everywhere I turn lately, they're playing a Star Wars trailer on TV, or somebody's talking about the upcoming Star Wars movie. I think they trotted out the cast for a press event the other day, minus Harrison Ford, who's still recovering. Yep. So what's the latest on this?
Well, Twitter is jumping in, and they're going to have these custom emojis that show Star Wars characters. And I tried it yesterday. I can confirm it works. There's only three so far. There's CP3O, a stormtrooper, and BB-8. And you just put the hashtags in, and it makes the little emoji next to the character. But right now, it only works on the Twitter app. It only works on Twitter.com. So if you use some other kind of device or some other kind of app to get your tweets, it just doesn't show up. It just shows up as a regular hashtag. But it was very exciting in the newsroom yesterday.
I'm not going to use it until I can use Chewbacca.
See, that's just the thing. You wait until there's like 30 of them, and then you craft a message entirely in emoji, and you're awesome, instantly awesome.
You have a lot of time on your hands.
No, I really don't. It's for work.
Yeah, it's research. Well, this is like the presidential election. I mean, it's so far ahead of the actual event that we start talking about this.
I know, but everybody is saying, I haven't seen it yet, but everybody is saying that that trailer, or it's not even a trailer, it's a look ahead or something, is making people cry.
It's
really? Why?
Because it's emotional, because it's Star Wars.
They're just nostalgic, you mean?
And also the way that it was done. And I think Harrison Ford is at the end of it.
Yes,
or something.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
The Force Awakens, yep.
All right. Let's talk about Google and what they're doing now with a handwriting app.
You know, there aren't many times where I want to have an Android phone because I like my iPhone a lot, but there is this new handwriting input that Google has been working on apparently for years and years, and they released an app and a way to use it through Android phones where instead of typing, you can use your finger, don't even need a stylus, you can use your finger and you can write. And this thing is supposedly really, really smart in picking up what you're you know, what your handwriting is, and it's accurate and sounds great.
Okay, I have a lot of questions about this because, for one thing, normally when I have to sign anything,
I could
do, like, anything. Nobody has ever, I mean, I change it every time.
Right.
Like, nobody has ever said, oh, that's not your handwriting. Because it doesn't even resemble. Sometimes I just do, like, one gigantic big letter.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
So I don't know how this could actually work. And also, last night, I was signing a waiver, an electronic waiver for my daughter who's going to an event tonight where there had to be a waiver for some sporting thing. Huh. And then I was told to sign it by using my mouse. So I signed it using my handwriting, but it doesn't look like anything like my handwriting. It just looks like
it's a mark.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's basically, when it comes to that, it's a mark. But this, I think what this does, if I'm understanding it correctly, is if you were to sign it that way, you could store different signatures in an app, almost like the way the fingerprint thing works.
Oh.
And it will remember each one and recognize it. And it should get smarter as it goes because it would recognize things that you do.
Okay.
Trending today, Starbucks, and people are excited whenever they introduce a new drink.
Yes, that's always a big, big deal. And come April 28th, they are going to release the S'mores Frappuccino. And it's exactly how you would think of a s'more, you know, being with marshmallow, whipped cream, and chocolate, and graham cracker shavings.
It's like a s'more in a blender with ice.
Pretty much, with ice, yes. And it's also going to come in the bottle, you know how they do the Frappuccinos in the bottle? But I don't know how that's going to taste like s'mores, because how do you put graham crackers in milk? It doesn't, it sounds like that might not work as well as the actual Frappuccino would.
I just wonder, what are the ingredients in that thing?
Here we go again.
Chocolate, graham crackers, and love.
Well, that's what they say.
It's not being billed as a health drink,
that.
Marianne.
No, it is not.
It is kind of a milkshake coming April 28th to your neighborhood Starbucks.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about Facebook and what they're doing with their version of the away message. Explain this,
Scott. Do you remember when you were using like AOL for Instant Messenger a long time ago, or if you're like me this morning, and and you had this little thing that, you know, it said away or it said busy, and then below you could type in what you were doing. That kind of has gone by the wayside. That doesn't really technically exist anymore, but Facebook is trying to do something very similar in a test. If you, on the Facebook app, if you click the little person icon in the upper right corner, you see this drawer pull out with a list of all the people and what if they're mobile or where they are, your friends. This would show what they're doing underneath. So you could type in hosting my show or whatever the case may be. And according to the test, it lasts for 12 hours and then disappears. And that's the thing that's always been interesting about these messages is that you change them, you know, often. And I don't know whether or not that's going to really make a difference as they go. But, you know, for a lot of people, it's very nostalgic to have these messages.
That reminds me, let's talk about something. The kids, they have got it down pat. They know exactly when to post something on Instagram or on Facebook for maximum
viewing
mm-hmm. and likes.
Yep.
And is there like a set, you know, has anybody ever released, you know, like, you know, Fridays from the hours of, you know, something to something, this is your best time.
The funny thing about that is, yes, people release it all the time and every single one is different. I don't know how they narrow it down.
Well, it matters with your friends. Like in you know, for 14-year-olds, it's when right after the school bell rings that they grab their phones, and at that point, but that would not be right for us.
That is exactly right. We found some things, some trending things that you can always tell. Like, for example, things that have to do, like on Facebook, things that have to do with parenting always seem to do well super late in the evening, because they say that after parents put their kids to bed, they, you know, use their iPad and they look at stuff like that. So that kind of stuff kind of stays the same. But you're right. It depends on the group. It depends on the kids. It depends on their age. There's so many things that it depends on. And that's why it makes sense that in their small groups, they know exactly which, you know, what's going to do well when.
Scott Kleinberg in our hashtags, likes, and shares department. Thanks, Scott.
Thank you both.
Enjoy the weekend.
You too.
This is the kind of day you think about summer and outdoor events, including concerts. And if you're out west of Chicago, you've got a new place to go to enjoy some first-rate entertainment. With us today is the president and CEO of the Paramount Theater, Tim Rader. How you doing, Tim?
Hi, Tim.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
You're now running for the third summer, the New River Edge Park. And the people we were talking during the break, people who have been out there love it. They're coming back. But for a lot of folks in the area who hear about Ravinia, you don't hear much about River Edge Park. Fill us in.
Well, that's because we're new. We're just getting on people's radar. This is our third summer, like you said. And you know, the people that are coming back. And the seasons keep getting stronger. And we're really just beginning, which is kind of fun. People are really starting to get excited about what happens at River Edge Park, because it's a different type of place, a different venue, a different way to see a show.
I am so impressed by your lineup that you've just announced. Earth, Wind & Fire, Hall & Oates, Smash Mouth, among a bunch of different acts. And I want to go to every one of them.
Yeah, and that's what we hope you will do. You can come to any of those as our guest, of course. But, you know, this season itself, it keeps growing. People are excited about it, and it's really going to be a lot of fun.
You mentioned this is a different way to see a show. Explain that.
Well, the setup at River Edge Park is very open. It's all general admission. You can bring your bag chair. You're sitting on the river, and you're sitting next to the stage. It's all one price. And right now, the prices are... they're up to 50-60% off what the ticket price will be after June 1st. We're trying to encourage people to buy tickets to the shows earlier versus later. And it's the sort of experience that only River Edge Park can have. It's across the street from Two Brothers Brewing Company. It's next to the casino. You walk a couple blocks and go to the casino after a concert. And it's the sort of experience where you'd like to come back. You sit next to the stage. You sit right next to the artist. And you can be a part of a kind of a more intimate sort of experience as compared to some of the huge, huge arena type acts. You know, just a few thousand people there with you, fans.
I love that. And you're a new operation. This is your third summer doing this, and you've been doing such a great job. How is it that you are able to convince big acts to actually go there, to such a new place that doesn't have the reputation that perhaps Ravinia does?
Well, that's exactly the problem that we run into. Sometimes we have... to be very, very persistent. And we work with a lot of different people. And we're not new kids on the block as far as booking acts. We program the Paramount Theater right across the river. And it's trying to expand those relationships that we have with those agents to bring bigger acts to downtown Aurora. And there are those relationships. And we run into that all the time, where it is hard to have an artist that traditionally plays Ravinia or another festival to come to Aurora. But we're finding that they want another experience. They like, once they come, our first season, we had Idina Menzel come to the park, and she's once having been there, it took a lot of convincing to get her there, but once she's there, now she wants to come back.
So,
if John Travolta will introduce
her. That's right.
And then when they're there, I mean, do they stay there? Do they just love the idea that they're so close to Chicago that they can come and check out the city as well? Or are they just in and out?
Yeah, you're about an hour or less west, due west of us here in downtown Chicago.
Yeah, it's about a 45, 55 minute drive, depending on where you're at. And the artists do. They stick around sometimes, but often the big artists, they're on tour, you know, and they're in Aurora for one night and then they're out. You know, they'll bring in 7-8 buses and 6 or 7 semis and then they're gone.
Well, for all the people who are out west, and of course we hear from folks, our friends who listen to WGN all over the Midwest, and it's great that they don't have to come all the way into the city. They can just head to Aurora. Starting June 13th, Bodine's first big show of the summer. And looking at the list, Smash Mouth in July, and then Hall & Oates, Earth, Wind, and Fire in August. That's the one Marianne wants to go to. It's a great lineup, and I'm sure you will find very soon now that artists will be saying to you, I want to come back. You're going to get that. You know that, right?
Well, we hope. That's what they are saying, and it is just it's a process. You know, we're right across from the Metro, and it's a convenient stop for a lot of artists. It's sometimes they don't want to play Chicago proper. They want to be in a suburban market, and that's also useful.
Right. And Tim, if somebody wants a complete schedule and ticket information, what's the easiest way for folks to do that?
It's riveredgeaurora.com. Riveredgeaurora.com.
Good luck. See you this summer.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you very much.